Welcome to the latest Stockhouse Investor Podcast, where you get up-to-date information on the sectors, the companies, and the trends which are competing for your investment dollars. Today we will be speaking with silver mining executive Keith Neumeyer, President and CEO of First Majestic Silver, to gain a better perspective on this important mining sector. Silver is a precious metal. It is used as money, still. It is used in jewelry. Over the last century, numerous important industrial uses for silver have emerged. In other words, by any objective metric, silver is more valuable than ever. For over 4,000 years, the silver-gold price ratio averaged 15 to 1. This reflects the natural supply ratio of the two metals in the Earth's crust, 17 to 1. However, today, despite silver being more valuable than ever, its price ratio versus gold has expanded, not declined. The current ratio is at an extreme level of roughly 75 to 1. Five times the normal ratio. There are no reasonable explanations for this differential. In absolute terms, in the 1990s, the price of silver was driven to a 600-year low in real dollars. This bankrupted well over 90% of the world's silver mines. Since that time, silver has been in a permanent supply deficit. For over 4,000 years, the vast majority of the world's silver came from primary silver mines. Today, more than 70% of our silver comes as a byproduct of other mining. There is only one reason for this dramatic shift in silver mining. The price of silver is much, much too low. If the price of silver rose sufficiently, becoming more in line with the price of gold, most of our silver would once again come from primary silver mining, restoring health to this important metals market. I'm Jeff Nielsen on behalf of Stockhouse Editorial, and I have the pleasure of speaking with Keith Neumeyer. We're here today to get some insights on the silver sector, as well as examining First Majestic's prominent role in the mining industry. Thanks for joining me today, Keith.
Well, thanks, Jeff, and it's a pleasure talking to you.
Likewise. Well, let's just dive right into the questions. I'm sure that's what our audience is waiting for. First of all, could you briefly tell our audience how you originally got involved in silver mining, and how did this lead to the founding of First Majestic Silver?
I've been in this market now, when I mean market, I mean the financial industry, since 1984. And in 1992, I put together a company called First Quantum Minerals, and we acquired some copper assets in the copper belt in Africa in 95 and 96, and broke ground in 97, and were up and running in production by late 98. I left that company in 2000 after being president from 92 to 97, and remained on the board until 2000. And between 2000 and 2002, I didn't really do a whole heck of a lot. I was basically in semi-retirement, but I was watching gold and silver very closely. And it was pretty tough times back then. You know, from 98 to 2002 in the mining sector, it was pretty ugly times. It's very similar to the period of time when it would just come out of. When I put First Mining together, First Mining Finance together, my latest company, but in that bear market from 98 to 2002, I was looking at, the metals, and being a copper guy the way I was a big believer in supply and demand fundamentals of the metal. And when I examined silver to me was the most dynamic of any of the metals, meaning that the supply and demand fundamentals for silver were quite extraordinary, and I fell in love with silver, and I decided to put a silver company together in 2002, and I hit the road pretty hard, and then started raising money and started acquiring assets. And from January of 2004 to June of 2006, I acquired four mines in Mexico, and today we're the second largest silver producer in the country, of Mexico.
Well, that's a very impressive resume, and of course, as we discussed, the fundamentals in the silver industry are, if anything, even more bullish today. So that gets to another issue. You have been outspoken about the pricing of silver and the very questionable parameters in which this market is allowed to operate. Could you give us your snapshot of the silver market today?
Well, silver market is under a lot of pressure these days. First Majestic has been producing less silver every year now for the last 3 years. Our share price was knocked fairly heavily last week. I can't explain exactly why it was down, but I think the short sellers and so forth got their way with it. But nevertheless, we announced the reduction of production of silver, as well as several other mining companies. I'm not going to name names, but most of the primary silver companies that I follow are producing less silver today than they did 2-3 years ago. Same with First Majestic. If you go back and look at the GSNS numbers, which is the analytical company that analyzes this stuff, they've been announcing repeated years of lower silver production on a global scale. The number for the first 6 months of 2017, it's not official, but silver production in Mexico is dropping, silver production in Chile is dropping, silver production globally is dropping. And this is a huge problem because we need silver as a human race to survive, to go green and do all the things that we're doing, robotics and electrical cars and fuel cells and solar panels, computers and cell phones, filtration systems, and all the things that we need silver for are critical to advance the population that we want to get to ultimately over the next 10 or 20 years as we get off the oil and gas and change and electrify the planet. And it's not showing up in the market, and it is quite confusing. You said earlier that the ratio is currently 75-1, which is true. That's what we're trading at today. But we're actually mining 9-1. So for every 1 ounce of gold, we're only mining 9 ounces of silver. So silver should be trading at much, much higher prices. And companies that are focused on silver should be in everyone's portfolio as far as I'm concerned.
So falling production in a sector that was already in a long-term deficit, this isn't supposed to happen. And this leads to another question. Price manipulation is a term which is a part of the vocabulary of many silver investors. The fundamentals for silver dictate a price ratio versus gold of 15 or 1 or less. The actual ratio is presently near 75-1. Why do you think there is not more media attention being brought to the root cause of this extremely anomalous pricing?
Well, silver is a tiny market. If you look at the annual production of silver is about 800 million ounces annually. So 800 million times the current metal price, about $16, let's say. It's a tiny market. You're talking $15 billion market, and you can fit that into Apple's market cap 200 times. I think the number would work out to. But I think the top five technology companies in the United States have a market cap of $500 billion, and so when you compare that to the mining sector, even compare it to First Majestic, or compare it to silver, these are tiny, tiny numbers. So it just doesn't show up. It's not mainstream. Generally speaking, and it does surprise me a lot. You ask the average guy in the street, what is silver used for? And most people don't know the answer. Yet, if they actually think about it and learn about the metal and see how critical it is in their daily lives, people would take note. And that's exactly what I think is going to happen. I think what's going to ultimately change the ratio, what's going to change the price, is there's going to be supply disruption. There will be a point in time, and who knows when, I don't have a crystal ball, but someone like a Sony or a Toyota or an Apple will just not be able to produce products because they don't have access to enough silver.
Well, I know you don't have a crystal ball, but I'm going to try to put you on the spot anyways. My own research into silver indicates that the supply deficit in the silver market has now continued for 30 years and possibly longer. This is unprecedented in the history of commodity markets. Do you think this deficit can persist much longer?
No, that's my point about what I said earlier about, there will be a point in time where industry who relies on the metal just simply won't be able to produce their products, and that's going to hit. That's when it's going to blow up, and that's when it's going to hit mainstream, the headlines, and so on. If you go back 30 years, that's your number, into the mid 80s, there's about 5 billion ounces of silver on the surface of the earth, and that 5 billion is probably underestimated, because when they that number back in the 80s, it's not like people were really counting the amount of 1,000 ounce silver bars and vaults around the planet, but it's an estimated number. And today's estimated number, there's different analysts out there that use different numbers, but the numbers are as low as 700-800 million ounces and as high as 2 billion ounces. It's probably somewhere in the middle, but nevertheless, over the last 30 years, that silver has been gobbled up in industry. and all that silver is gone. It's never to be replaced again. It's in products that will never be recycled. It's in waste dumps and televisions and refrigerators and, you know, electronic components that are, you know, sitting in holes in the ground covered in earth and then just rotting away and never to be seen again. And it's quite shocking, actually, that we've destroyed so much silver in the last 30 years. And, you know, with consumption levels where they are today, we're consuming about 1.1, 1.2 billion ounces of silver annually in all the different products that we consume. And the miners are only producing 800 million ounces. So that huge deficit is just gobbling up supply sitting on the Earth's surface. And there won't be a point in the future where people just can't produce the products that we need.
You know, I think many listeners in our audience not familiar with the silver market would be really shocked to hear that a metal is actually being consumed in this manner. And, of course, obviously this imbalance cannot continue indefinitely. But precisely what do you see as the catalyst which will restore sanity to silver prices and thus restore health to the silver mining industry?
Well, you know, the question is very much the same as the previous one. You know, I just think it's going to be supply issue. You know, I think that there will be a point where, you know, the mine supply continually dwindles. And you know, first, Majestic or any miner out there that's producing silver, we need higher silver prices. You know, at $16, $17, $18, $20 silver, we're not going to see the growth in silver production on a global scale to meet demand. That's obvious. We've seen that occur over the last 4 or 5 years. You know, we've seen a drop in silver production and increased silver consumption, and that, you know, a divergence of those two phenomenons, you know, just can't continue, because you're going to reach a point where the whole industry is going to explode, and that's going to require, or that will result in much, much higher silver prices. And then, you know, but of course, you, there's a delay. By the time you get $30, $40, $50 silver again, you know, you get a delay of, you know, several years before you can start to see, you know, increase in production.
An industry that is about to explode. Well, you know, if anything's going to catch the attention of investors, that ought to. But you know, let's move away from the sector itself to your own company's operations. Please spend a couple of minutes talking about First Mining Finance and how this spinoff from First Majestic is filling an important void in the mining industry.
Well, you know, I'm quite proud of First Majestic. You know, we're one of the premier, you know, silver miners in the world, you know, despite the fact we've had some challenges with keeping production levels up. You know, the whole industry has been under a lot of pressure, and I don't mean just the silver industry, I mean the mining industry as a whole. You know, we've been spending the last 5-6 years reducing costs in order to, you know, gain profitability. You know, congratulations should go out to, you know, my entire management team, you know, who's been able to reduce our costs, you know, by 50% over the last, you know, 3-4 years. And today, you know, we're profitable. Just, you know, and it's not that exciting. You know, I'm not saying we're making scads of money, you know, because the margins are quite low. So we're still trying to do many, many things in the industry. We're innovating, we're automating, we're bringing all kinds of new technologies into our company, you know, to continually put pressure or downward pressure on our costs, which I think is very important. You know, even though I'm a bull on the silver price, and I think silver prices will be much, much higher, you know, I don't know when that's all going to happen. I think today silver should be, you know, 2, 3, 4 times where it's currently trading, but obviously it's not. So, you know, we can't affect the silver price, but we can affect our costs. So our entire focus is to, you know, keep putting pressure on costs, keep our costs down, and ultimately when silver prices do improve, which I'm suspecting they will over the coming years, then of course, you know, First Majestic will be a huge beneficiary of that improved silver price environment.
Now, as you say, there's still very tough conditions in the mining sector, and, you know, First Mining Finance is definitely helping to step in there for a lot of junior mining companies that are having problems financing their operations. And could you spend a moment talking about what they're doing for some of these juniors?
You know, similar to, you know, when I put First Majestic Silver together, you know, in 2002, 2003, you know, the formulation of that business, you know, there was no one really excited about mining. And, you know, I bought the first four mines for First Majestic between 2004 and 2006, as I said earlier, and there was no competition. You know, it actually surprised me that, it was so easy to accumulate such a good asset base. We built on that asset base over time and, built a very large company as a result of that whole strategy that I built in that period. Well, I'm doing the same thing with First Lighting Finance. The First Lighting Finance is really only 2 years old, so it's still in its infancy. Over the period of, 2014, when I was putting it together, and it finally went public in early 2015, and over the next 13 months, we actually acquired 8 gold projects focused on Eastern Canada. And these are some of the best undeveloped gold assets in the world. And we have them under one umbrella, under First Lighting Finance, which, surprised a lot of people that we were able to actually acquire such an enormous asset base in such a short period of time. But that was the market at that point. And, people today look back and say, geez, how did you do that? Well, people don't remember how bad the market actually was. And we went to these boards of directors and offered to buy their companies and consolidate them into a single entity, which would obviously make us a much more easily financeable and larger company. It wasn't that difficult of a sales pitch. Today, you couldn't do it. You just simply could not repeat what we did at First Lighting Finance. But, First Lighting Finance, as I said, has one of the best gold portfolios in the world. It's in its infancy. It's going to spend the next couple of years developing these assets and proving out how good they actually are. I think it's a great gold company in the early stages of growth.
A win-win relationship and something that makes both your shareholders happy as well as the shareholders of these other mining companies. Well, you've certainly given us a lot of commentary to think about today, so let me just provide a brief summary for our audience. Silver is one of the most important metals in the world, yet the industry which produces this vital metal remains on life support. As one of the few mining companies presently able to mine silver profitably, First Majestic Silver has been outspoken in drawing attention to the artificial depression which has been imposed on the silver mining industry. This is Jeff Nielsen, and I've been speaking with Keith Neumeyer, President and CEO of First Majestic Silver. Thanks for spending time with me today, Keith.
Well, it's a pleasure, Jeff, and great questioning. Hopefully your listeners have a better understanding of silver and gold.
Thank you very much. For our listeners, thank you for joining us. As always, investors are reminded to do their own due diligence before making any investment decision.